Well, we continue this morning with our look at the Magi and their role in the Christmas story. Isn't it interesting that King Herod was British? I had no idea. That just stuck out like a sore thumb, didn't it? Well, this is just one portrayal of the events recorded in Matthew 2. We began our Advent sermon series 2 weeks ago. We said that the word Advent means the coming or arrival of something or someone important. And so in this season of Advent, we focus on the arrival of Jesus Christ coming into the world. And again, I wanted to mention to you that I borrowed the basic idea of this sermon series from Pastor Patrick Quinn of Fraser United Methodist, a church in Alabama. But I've not actually listened to his sermons. I just kind of took the basic idea and the title for the sermon series. So our title for this series is Follow the Star, Find Your Way Home. In the first sermon, a couple of weeks ago, we dissected Matthew chapter 2, and we discovered that the Magi were not kings, but instead were people that paid great attention to astrology and prophecy. Maybe they were priests. We don't know for sure where they lived, but most people think that it was probably Persia. Persia is modern-day Iran. And we did a little geography lesson there and decided that a journey from Persia to Bethlehem might have taken about 27 days, one way. So this was a long trip that these men took. The Magi saw this special star in the sky that signified to them that a very special Jewish king had been born. And apparently this was such a big event, they had to go and see this baby with their own eyes. And interesting that when they got there, they worshipped him, these men from Persia. We hypothesized in that sermon about what could possibly have motivated them to take such a long journey. We said that, I said that I believe that it might have been a longing for truth, a searching for the key to the riddle of life. What's the meaning behind this life that we find ourselves in? I think that might have motivated their search. Perhaps they had this ache that many of us have, an ache about the temporary nature of our lives, an ache for a permanent home. And God put a star in the sky that led this band of wise men straight to the one who could lead them to a permanent home, their true home. The one who did hold the answers and the key to the riddle of life, Jesus Christ. Follow the star and find your way home. So today, I want to shift our attention to a slightly different aspect of the same story of the Magi. Today, I want to look at the fact that God called these people, the Magi, to leave home in order to find their true home. So last time we talked about what the motivation was for them to take that trip. Today we look simply at the fact that they were called to leave home. Life with Jesus is our true home. The door that Jesus opens for all who would respond to him leads to heaven after death. Heaven is our true home. But for the Magi to discover this, God asked them to leave the comforts of their home. Now this is not an uncommon theme in Scripture. Let's look at some examples. The Magi were not the only ones called to leave home. Let's start first in Luke 5. So this is now the baby Jesus grown up. And it reads like this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's take a close look at those last five words. Simon, Peter, James, and John left everything and followed him. The book of Matthew also has this same story, and it finishes the story focusing on James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and it says this, "And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus." So when it became clear who was asking them and what he was asking them to do, they dropped what they were doing. They left their career and their parents. Peter, James, and John followed. Now these guys at least didn't have to leave the region that they grew up in. I suppose while they were following Jesus, if they really needed to go home and take care of something or visit family, they could do that. I don't know if they did. It was a radical change in their lives, to be sure, but they were still traveling with Jesus in their home country. Let's look now at an example where the call of God led to a much more significant move. Abraham grew up in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which today is called Iraq. We've talked a lot in recent months about the covenant that God made with Abraham, and that's outlined in Genesis 12. But let's look at the one verse right before Genesis 12 starts to explain this covenant. I'll have it on the board here. This Genesis 12, verse 1 says this, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" God was beginning to establish his relationship with Abraham and his descendants, the group of people that would become the Israelites. And he wanted this people group to grow and become numerous in a certain land. That land, of course, became Israel. At the time, it was called Canaan. God had plans. Plans that would unfold over centuries following Abraham's life. And there's no way for Abraham that he could have known all the implications that would play out from his decision to heed this call to move away from everything that he knew and move to the land of Canaan. You know, I don't think we spend much time thinking that there might have been pain in this for Abraham. What if God asked this to you? "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." That's a huge change for a person. And you know, we usually just kind of blink over that verse. Genesis 12:4 says, "So Abram left, as the Lord had told him." He was obedient. God was going to change the world through this man, and it started with obedience to a command to leave home, to move away from home, and Abraham followed. Let's jump back now to the New Testament and talk about the Apostle Paul for a moment. After the resurrected Jesus knocked the apostle, well, he was still Saul then. After the resurrected Jesus knocked Saul on his rear end, Paul spent the remainder of his life living away from home, traveling throughout the Near East and starting churches wherever he could. To this day, we're dependent on this man and his writings for further understanding of what it means to follow Christ. So God changed the world also through this man because he was willing to obey the call upon his life to leave home. Paul followed. What would you do if God called you to leave home? Would you be willing to drop everything and go? Well, since we're looking here at so many examples today of in Scripture of people that God called to leave home, I thought it might be interesting to talk to a few people who have heeded a call from God to leave home. If I'd known the Lunds were going to be here, we could have worked something out here. But I thought it would be interesting to hear directly from people like this about their experience. The first person I talked to is one of our own missionaries, Chris Creech. I had a Skype conversation with him on Friday night, and I simply just held up my video camera and recorded our conversation. I'm going to play it for you. I tell you, I had all kinds of trouble with this clip in the last couple days after it was recorded, and I didn't think it was going to work, but after about 4 hours of messing with it, I finally got it working. I intended to clean it up a little bit and shorten it. and you'll see the very opening moments were not supposed to be played to you, but I just couldn't get the editing software to work with it, so you're going to watch an unedited clip of my conversation with Chris Creech, and it's fine. But anyway, here is missionary Chris Creech.
All right, you look beautiful.
I doubt that.
Well, I guess they can see me because I'm in the corner. All right, we'll just start on in here. So, hello, Chris.
Oh, good morning, Calvary family. How you doing, guys? And we look forward to seeing you again when we get back home. And, you know, I just turned 65, so by the time I finish this term, we finish this term, I'll be 67. I'll still be older than most of you, maybe every single one of you. And I got shoes older than your pastor, but that's all right. He's a good guy. I knew his dad.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got a great pastor, and we're glad to be able to talk to you this morning.
All right.
So, your special church, we told you when we were there, you're one of our very special churches, and if we lived in that area, we know where we'd go to church, maybe even if we lived a long way from there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, good morning.
Good. Yes, thank you. I'm going to turn up your volume just a little bit, and Chris was apologizing for drinking coffee here, and I said, no, that's highly encouraged at Calvary Baptist, so you just go right ahead.
Good.
So before we get into questions related to the sermon topic today, I thought maybe just give you a chance to, for those who don't know you or maybe who weren't here last time you visited, do you want to explain where you are and what kind of work you're doing?
Sure. Okay. Those of you who may not have met us, we are in Penang, Malaysia, and we are teaching at Malaysia Baptist Theological Seminary. It's a fully accredited school with students from all over Asia. The largest single contingent of students are from China. Faith also helps. She co-teaches with me in a couple courses, mentors students and mentors pastors' wives in the area. And those of you who don't know this, we were in Singapore for 4 years before that, doing the same thing at another seminary in Singapore.
Great, great. And we do, we know we support you financially, and I know many of us do pray on a regular basis for you. Any update on prayer requests for your ministry?
Well, we just started the second term. I would say wisdom in, and this is a serious one, wisdom in learning what to do and what not to do. First few months we were here, they didn't give us a lot to do, kept busy, but not a lot. Now it's being piled on. And just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I got asked to head up or be part of a team that heads up the Doctor of Ministry program at the seminary. So, and we've been asked to go to the big country. That's a euphemism for the big country in Asia, okay? So things just keep coming, and we're teaching classes with pastors or for pastors here in Malaysia. We're getting really busy. So need wisdom in that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say is Faith's ongoing problem of fibromyalgia and the migraine headaches that come from it. Just we're actually starting to pray. You know, for years I've been praying for Lord to give us wisdom as to know how to deal with it. And all of a sudden, Faith said to me a few days ago, "So let me pray for healing." I said, "You know, why haven't we done that for years?" Mm-hmm. So we're actually praying for healing now because she's had this problem since she was a teenager, and it's a true thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
So that's an ongoing thing, but it's a big deal because the migraines are pretty intense.
Yep. Yep. We've got people in our church who can relate to that, and.
I'm sure it seems to be a common problem, and doctors just don't know how to deal with it usually.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll pray for those things. Good. And so I think I told you that in this week's sermon, we're looking a little bit at the Magi and how they the Magi had to leave home in order to find the to follow the star and see what was laying underneath that star, that special star in the sky. And now. They may not have known it then, but we know now that what was laying under that star was actually a way to find their permanent home, their true home in heaven, in Jesus Christ. So they had to leave home in order to find their true home.
Mm-hmm.
We're also kind of looking about how that's a somewhat common theme in Scripture, of leaving home in order to find what God has for you. Not everyone is called to leave home, and we're going to talk later in the sermon about what God might be calling those of us who are not called to leave home to. But we did want to, I thought it would be neat to talk to someone who has been called by God to leave home, and just wanted to ask you a few questions about that. First question is just tell me, when did you first feel God calling you to perhaps leaving the comforts of home and moving out into what he had for you there?
First time we really knew we were called was probably in the early 90s. I made a mistake and didn't leave right away, and so it took us till 2006 to finally respond to the call. And so it took some time for me to, you think pastors are really mature and, able to hear the call of God and respond. And I heard the call of God, but I always thought about, oh, gosh, I got to raise that support, and I got to learn another language, and, oh, my, I just don't know. Lord, maybe I'll just be a pastor instead.
Yeah.
Well, it really sounds like you're being a really faithful Christian if you're doing something for the Lord, but maybe what you're doing for the Lord isn't what the Lord wants you to do. So I had to hear the hand of God. Actually, he gave me a pretty good talking to. And so I did respond in 2006. Faith, on the other hand, she knew she was called to go to Asia from the time she was a little girl and was just waiting for the Lord to make sure I had finally understood what we were supposed to do.
Okay.
So, each missionary has a kind of a difference and different ideas of the process. Some respond quickly, some more slowly, but...
Yeah.
The idea is that once God has called you, you've got to do it.
Okay.
So,
was it
that would be my hopefully assisting in what you're trying to share with your folks this morning?
Right. What? Well, you've kind of answered some of this. The next question was it hard to think about, leaving home and leaving family behind? And it sounds like it probably was. But talk about that a little bit.
The hardest thing right now is being away from children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
By far. That's especially Christmas time. We can send gifts, and we can't even really send gifts sufficiently because of the postal system, so it's usually done by internet sending a check. But being away from family is by far the very hardest thing about being a missionary.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty universal.
Oh, I'm
sure. I think it's pretty universal for missionaries.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I'm sure we could all imagine. That kind of leads into my next question. I'm sure that you have heard this, but I've heard people say that they're kind of scared to listen to what God is really calling us to because God might call me into missions. And, I've heard people say, I don't want to go to Africa or wherever. And, what are your, now we're talking to a missionary who has left. What are your reflections on that kind of statement or fear?
Well, and I too felt those kinds of qualms and concerns. And here's the perspective after being in the mission field for a few years. Why didn't I do this 30 years earlier?
Wow, all right.
I'm reaching the end of my ministry career, although I'm prolonging it and intend to prolong it as long as possible. But we just love what God has called us to do. Asians are very special people. We sense a fulfillment in ministry that we never have had in 30 years of pastoral ministry. So what I'm saying is that, yes, I didn't want to raise the money, I didn't want to learn a language, didn't want to do all the things that go along with going in the mission field. But the reality is that I was almost fighting myself. We love what we're doing, and I continually lament, why didn't I do this 30 years earlier?
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting.
So, the Lord knows, and he's using it. He takes everything we do, even the silly things, and he uses them, makes them good. But my perspective is that I certainly do wish I had done this a lot earlier. We love it.
I know I've had the thought, and I'm sure many others besides me, but that God knows who we are and what we, what we would find fulfilling even better than we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. All right, so in hindsight, what I think I hear you saying is it was a difficult thing when God called you to leave home, but it's been fulfilling, and sounds to me like you wouldn't trade it.
Do it anyway. You find your fulfillment there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that goes into what what I'm hearing you say about your message today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it anywhere. Yeah.
All right. Great.
So, you know, we're just so fulfilled, Eric.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I don't want to take much more of your time. You want to tell us what's on the docket for today? I know you've got a group with you out there.
Yeah, we have a couple people from Grand Marais who are here and wanting us to show them a little bit about our ministry. And we spent most of yesterday touring the seminary and looking at the area, and today we're going to be doing something very similar.
Okay.
So it's Saturday morning here, and life stays very busy. As I mentioned just yesterday, I got emailed with the proposal that I accept the situation, or maybe I can share this with the people, what they're asking me to teach in the DMN program now.
Yep.
And so we stay awfully busy.
Yeah.
And but we're fulfilled. So what can I say?
That's awesome. Well, I was going to do this at the beginning. Yeah, 6 p.m. Friday night here, and 8 a.m., well, a little after that now, your time, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
It's 8:20 a.m.
All right, very good. And what's the temperature? Got to cover that.
Oh, well, this is early morning hours. It's only about 93 or 4, probably. Humidity's probably 640 or something like that. It's not. This is the cool time of the day. I actually have the door open, and so it's cooler here. Now in about an hour, we'll close the door, turn the air conditioning on. About an hour we'll be leaving, though. But yeah. Regardless, on a normal day, that's what we'd be doing. It's always hot here.
Yeah. We've been sitting in the single digits and teens over the last week, so that sounds okay.
We saw a lot about that and heard from folks about you've had some cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be very honest with you, boy, we wish we could get some of that here.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much, and please greet your wife from us, and appreciate your time today.
And Eric, thank you, and thank all the people in Madison. You've got such a wonderful group of people and such a wonderful church. You are truly blessed to be there, and I have a suspicion they're blessed to have you there. So we're excited for you. We pray for you regularly. You know that, and they know that, and we really do. So thank you for this time. We appreciate it.
We're glad for the relationship, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. You look beautiful.
I got it.
Yeah. All right, so that's Chris Creech, and I don't know if you caught it, but at the beginning he said that he had shoes older than your pastor. That was the line he said. So, anyway. Boy, those of you who struggle with fibro, can you imagine living in 9,500 degrees and humidity? Oof. So there's a sacrifice there. Interesting, isn't it, that Chris had those same fears that many of us have. About the call of God. But when he finally was obedient to heeding that call, he discovered that was where he wanted to be and that God knew it. It sounds like he feels like he really missed out by not responding earlier when God was originally calling him back in the 90s. The second person that I interviewed on this topic is a friend of mine back in from college days at Bethel. Shan Reed is her name, and she has been a missionary in Japan for many years now. I did not interview her live. I just emailed some of these questions. I wanted to read just a few of her responses for you. So first question was, tell me about the time that you felt God calling you into missions. And she responds like this: when I was in junior high in small town South Dakota, I met some Japanese people for the first time in my life. We had two university students stay at our house, and I was fascinated. For the next 5 summers, we hosted Japanese university students, and I became more and more interested in this country that seemed so different from South Dakota. At the same time, I was learning about Japan. I was learning more about how much God loves me and wants me to share that love with others. The summer before I went to college, I went to youth camp one more time. I don't remember what the pastor taught about, but I do remember that God spoke to my heart and challenged me to think about Japan not as a tourist destination, but as a dark place in need of light. After graduating from college, I taught elementary school in Texas. As I was beginning my fifth year of teaching, I was beginning to feel restless. God was reminding me that I had a heart for missions in Japan. I had tried to go a couple of times before this, but God always closed the door. Now, however, it seemed he was opening the door. And around Thanksgiving of that school year, I had a dream. In my dream, I was told that I would be a missionary. That sealed it for me. It was time to go to Japan. So at the end of the school year, I packed up my life, stored most everything in my parents' basement, and got on a plane to Japan. My next question was it difficult to think about leaving home? And she says, actually, no. Moving to Japan was more like the wise men or Abraham. I'd clued her in a little bit on what I was going to talk about. So moving to Japan was more like the wise men or Abraham. I had a calling to follow God, and I didn't really know much about what I was getting myself into. However, I knew that God had called me and was preparing the way for me, so I was excited. Plus, I had pretty much been waiting since junior high to get to Japan, so I was excited about the adventure ahead. Next question, I'm sure that you are aware that sometimes people say they're scared that if they really listen to what God wants of them, he might call them into missions. How would you respond to a thought like that? She says, I was afraid. We're kind of picking on Africa here, Lunds, I'm sorry. I don't know what that's about. You did, okay. sorry. She says, I was afraid God would send me to Africa if I said yes to the call to be a missionary. I do not think God calls us to do things he has not equipped us for. If he does want you to be a missionary, he'll put that desire in your heart. If he wants you to stay where you are and support missionaries through prayer and finances, he'll put that desire in your heart. The main thing is to build your relationship with God, get to know him better, and fall deeply in love with him. And last question, how many years have you been out in the field, and what are your reflections at this point on the decision to go rather than to stay home? And she says, I've been in Japan 14 years. I cannot imagine being anywhere else. Just as Jesus said of those who give up homes and family for him, I now have two homes, Japan and South Dakota. I have two families, my biological one and my mission family. I now have more than twice as many friends, my South Dakota friends, my college friends, my Texas friends, my Japanese friends. It is my joy to live in Japan because I know it is right where God has called me to be. So thoughts from another who has followed a call from God to leave home, to leave her country, her people, her family. She sounds happy and fulfilled to me. Shan and Chris and Faith followed. What if God's not calling you to leave the country? Maybe God will call you to live in a different town or change your career, change a job. Would you follow that leading? You know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was greatly considering going into the pastorate. And that had been something, a desire on my heart. But though that was on my heart, all of a sudden, at that time, a job presented itself to me. Thrivent Financial was pursuing me to become a financial advisor with them. And I was really wrestling with what direction to head in. And I had one of those handful of moments that I've had in my life where I really felt God saying to me that I was going to get that financial advising job and that I should take that job. I'm almost certain that he led me there. So it was quite a surprise to me a few years later when all of a sudden that job was heading towards a dead end because I was pretty sure I'd been called to that job. My clients liked me. My bosses said I was doing a great job, but we just weren't making any money, and I had to bail out of that situation. So in the world's eyes, this experiment of becoming a financial advisor had failed, and it felt like a failure. But I've realized there are all kinds of reasons God could have led me into that job. In hindsight now, of course, I think you have to think, well, what if God had ordained for me to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist in Madison? You know, the timing just wasn't right. You had a pastor then. So maybe that was it. I don't know. The other part of this, though, that I like to think about is the story of my buddy and Thrivent co-worker, Mike. I actually told you a little bit about him in a previous sermon. He was the one who had the grandpa who would always go to Catholic Mass, never, ever miss it. And he'd sit in the back row and put up his newspaper and read his newspaper and wouldn't even pay attention. But he never missed Mass. Okay, so that was Mike's grandpa. Mike and I were in the same training group at Thrivent, and shortly after our training ended, he began a search for truth about God. As co-workers, we were able to have a lot of discussions about Jesus Christ, and I ended up inviting him with a group of others to a Bible study, and he kept exploring things. Mike came to a saving relationship with Jesus about 2 years after we both started at Thrivent. I was not the reason Mike came to Christ. This was his search, and I know he was talking to other people too, and he was reading and researching. But I did play a role along with those others in this. So let me ask you, you know, we now know that God was going to fulfill that desire in my heart to go into ministry. Was it worth a 4-year detour in my career for Mike to come to know Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Just in that self. Just that in itself. Now Mike happens to be a very charismatic, intelligent guy, which is part of the reason why he's still a financial advisor and I'm not, I guess. He has some special gifts in that way. And boy, what if Mike goes on to be a major warrior in the kingdom of God and uses these gifts that he has to build the kingdom and not just his financial advising practice? You know, there could be all kinds of implications that come from that path that God led me on. It's all about following his lead and trusting him. So maybe it's not leaving the country. Maybe he might lead you to a new job or a new town because he has something for you to do in that particular situation. Okay, what if you're called not to go anywhere? Maybe God already has you right where you're supposed to be. And if he does, then I am sure that he has work for you to do here in this community. Are you listening to what he's asking of you? Are you building loving relationships with your coworkers, with those that you interact with during your days so that God might be able to use those situations? Are you using your gifts in the church and the community? God has a purpose for all of us, and we don't have to go very far to find people who need God's light and truth in their lives. You don't have to travel thousands of miles to find people who need Jesus Christ. So maybe you're not called to leave home. But a question that I think we all need to ask ourselves is this: would you give it all up if he asked you to? Would you move? Maybe it's not about moving. Maybe there are things, material things or time commitment things in your current situation that you're being asked to give up. My wife talks about living with open hands. Are you gripping on to things, holding them tightly, or do you live with open hands with God? So he may not call you to leave home, but I think that we are to be willing to leave. It's about following. So an obvious question here is this: how do you know where God's leading you to? I just want to say a couple quick things about this, and then we'll wrap up for the morning. But first thought is this: are you living in a way that if God was trying to communicate something to you that he wanted you to do, are you living in a way that you would actually hear it? Are you having your rocking chair moments with God? Are you doing your devotions and reading the Word? Are you allowing him to speak to you through the Bible, through your devotional material, through your time with him in prayer? Do you spend time listening for his voice? That's step one right there. Build your relationship with God. Build your walk with him. Listen for his voice. That's the foundation. Step two, I believe, is paying attention to what's in your heart. Ask yourself, what are my giftings? What am I good at? What makes me come alive? Maybe there's a desire in your heart that God has put there. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think that often God plants desires in our hearts. Now, just because you feel like there's something in your heart does not mean that you're supposed to go do that, for sure. You know, or maybe like with me and my desire for ministry, and then God moved me into financial advising, maybe the desire was right and the timing was wrong. God knows the right timing for things. So there needs to be an ongoing communication with the Lord about these things. We need to submit to his will. But I do think that paying attention to these desires is part of that process. Part of the process of learning God's will for our lives. Another thing that you can do if you're thinking about making a change or thinking that God might be leading you in a certain direction is to speak to godly people who know you, and maybe some that know what you're trying to go do as well, and seek confirmation. That's not the end all, but I think it can be part of the process. You know, sometimes when I've asked for leading in these types of things, I've gotten real obvious answers, and sometimes I've gotten nothing. So in the last 5 or 6 years, Ann and I have prayed often this prayer. You know, Lord, I think I feel you leading me in this direction, so I'm going to start taking some steps that way. But man, if I am getting off the track, kick my butt back onto the right path. I've prayed that a lot. So step four is keep praying, keep seeking his will. As we move to our close here, let me read one more comment from my missionary friend, Shan Reed. She wrote this: I will follow God anywhere he leads me because I trust him. I know his love is perfect, and he will not lead me somewhere where I cannot serve him, where I will not be full of joy. I don't live in a Pollyanna world thinking everything is rosy, but I do know that when I am in the place to which God has called me, even in the sufferings, I will be able to bring him glory and be content. Christmas is a feel-good story. Jesus coming in the world to save us. Even those who don't believe he's the Son of God, they feel good about this story. But Jesus didn't come just for us to feel good. If you read Scripture, you know that Jesus wasn't calling us just to celebrate his birth and to have good family time. He wasn't calling us just to have a moment of acknowledgement of him in our lives and then lead our lives without ever even thinking about him. Jesus is calling all people to be disciples. He's calling all people to follow him. Following him may not always be comfortable. But I think we've heard some good testimonies today that when we take those leaps of faith out of our comfort zone and we follow him, he will lead us to more than we can ask or imagine. Some things are worth leaving home for. And so I'm going to close today's sermon with the exact same sentences that I closed the last one. 2,000 years ago, there was a group of people sitting in what is now Iran. They were searching the stars, asking, is there something more? And an answer was given to them that day. It's the same answer that is given to you and me. Follow the star. Find your way home. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, thank you for giving us a star to follow. You see the big picture, and we don't. The things that we can't see, you see. You know the desires of our heart better than we do. You know what will be best for the growth of the kingdom of God, both in this place and eternally. You know the best timing for things. Lord, teach us to trust you with every element of our lives, where we work, where we live, what we spend our time on. Lead us, O King. Speak to us and help us to follow. Amen.